that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 12th, 2015. And oh, what a beautiful day it is here. Hope it's a beautiful day where you're at. And just a little brisk here, low 40s, but hey, they've got the coffee and that worked for us. So, good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Didn't know if John come on yet or not.
I believe so.
Yep. Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning, man.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant out there. And good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord Jesus. We ask you to join us. And we'll do that very thing. Jason, you want to open us up in prayer, and then we'll get on with the program.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for our Father for your blessing upon this program today. We just come before you and we pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints. And we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. We pray, Father, for you to continue to guide us and direct us with the working of your Holy Spirit, Father, that you give us more of it in our lives, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, known and unknown. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and just ask to be washed of our sins, Father. We pray that you strengthen us, Father, and that you just continue to guide and direct your people, Father. As you guide and direct them away from the world, Father, that you show them the change that they need to. We pray, Father, that you convict your people of their sins and their wicked ways, Father, and that you just assist them as they turn away from us, Father, and if they're trying for a better life. We ask that you just right now on the day after this 9/11 anniversary, Father, we ask that you continue to expose the enemies and who did this, and expose them for what they are, Father, and that you just do a mighty work there, Father. We know that this event that our enemies just used to slaughter and kill people, Father. That's what they did. It was a slaughter. And Father, we pray, Father, we just lift the victims up to you, Father, and we ask, Father, for your vengeance, Father, and for you to see to it that those that are behind this, Father, that they pay dearly, Father. And we pray that you just identify them, Father, that you expose them, and that you deal with them as you see fit, Father. We just cry out for justice in this land, Father, justice. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And yeah, with today, just to talk a little bit about that yesterday was the 14th anniversary of the 9/11, 2001, the bombings of the World Trade Center in New York City and other things. And
You know, that's one of the events that really sticks out, and I don't know if it does for everybody else, but I can remember that whole day very clearly. Does everybody else remember? Do you remember that day when they heard about what happened? And
yeah,
I do. I remember driving up and walking into the pastor's office, and he was sitting there. Of course, we're out here on Mountain Time. It's just a little after 7 o'clock, and so it was occurring at that time. And he said, "An airplane just hit the World Trade Center," and we're watching it on TV as it developed from there. And I remember him saying,
"I called."
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I called Dad right after I saw that. And he said, "The world will never be the same."
Yep. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, This changes everything.
Yeah, that's what I remember. It was, just a changing point. It was, I was up working in the furniture shop, and I got a phone call, and it was my sister telling me that a big terrorist attack hit. And I walked over to the pastor's office, and he said, "Sit down," and we had it on. Turned it on TV, and we were watching it, and it was, it was one of those days that, that's what he told me. He said, "Well, he's like, I don't think anything's ever going to be the same for you." And I remember him getting on the phone and calling Earl Jones and talking to him about it. And it was shortly after that point in time when Pastor Earl Jones died, and Dad always thought that's what killed him, was that, it was that 9/11 footage that playing it over and over and over on there and seeing it, because Earl just sat there and he said he'd been through one war and he didn't want to see it again. He didn't want to go through it again. And, he said, "This is where we're headed." And I remember his wife telling us, when we were down there for his funeral, that's what he kept saying. He's like, "Well," he's like, "I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to go through this again." And basically put himself into a heart attack over it.
Yeah, he could see the evil in the long-term plan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. And basically, control and control and control and more control comes out of it is what has happened. The thing is, there's so many aspects that we were lied to on top of it, about the whole thing. That's what, that's what is really, it's sad, but, we understand that's where we're at. That's where we're at in this point in time. Sometimes though, the thing is that you just wish that some people could realize it, and see, it's like, you talk to some of these people and it's like they completely forgot about it, you know, and they forgot about how evil they are. You know, there's people out there that, you know, they understand that the government is evil and wicked, and they know about 9/11 and what the, you know, that it was an inside job. You know, they know about all kinds of stuff. But 5 minutes later, they'll turn around and, well, I just can't believe that the government would do something like that. You know, and they're just completely double-minded. I mean...
Yeah, I was listening to some testimonies yesterday of people, you know, what they were doing when they heard about it. And one gentleman was talking about driving down the highway, I think in Pennsylvania or something, and as soon as he heard it, he couldn't even drive, and he just pulled over off the side of the road. And then what was interesting was he said, you know, I guess he just put his head down and prayed, but he looked around and there was nobody on the highway. Everybody had pulled off the road.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's unfortunate that it takes an event like that sometimes to bring people back to reality, to snap them out of the spell that they've been put in, the spell that they love to live in, that everything's okay. That, oh, the government's here to help us. Oh, yeah, they got their problems too. But, you know, it's still the best country in the world, best country there's ever been. We still hear that.
Yeah.
But it's just, if you blindly look at things, and believe what these antichrists put out, then, yeah, it may seem that way if you're in a spell.
But see, think of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, right? One of the protocols was they had to take over the media. Well, they obviously have done that.
Yes.
And when things aren't going their way, think back 20 years ago, hard to believe 20 years ago, was the Alfred P. Murrow building, the Oklahoma City bombing. And you think back to that and how that was originally portrayed to show that it was in retaliation to Waco. And when things weren't going their way, all you saw at first, if you watched the TV, were bloody children and the people that were killed. And, you know, it was all to spin one way against the patriots and against those who, you know, believe this conspiracy theory of the government. But when it didn't go their way, in fact, some of the early footage, one of the local members has that, and I think Dad does somewhere too, but the original footage showed the bomb squads carrying out bombs and putting them in the disposal units, you know, those lead or whatever they are, concrete encased on a trailer, disposal units. That was on the live TV footage from the original coverage of that bombing. But when things didn't go their way, all of a sudden, bam, they turn it off. And just recently, this Vester, this piece of trash that shot those two people live on the TV, guess what? Doesn't fit their narrative. It's a black guy shooting, a black homosexual shooting two white people. Can't have that on the air.
Yep, you're absolutely right. It got it just disappeared. It disappeared,
yep,
and you don't
completely.
You know, but you know the Clinton. You know, her last quote and her emails, that's the most important thing right now and has been.
Wag the dog, baby.
Absolutely, in the media. So the bottom line, folks, is, as Isaiah says, wake up, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. And guess what those beautiful garments are? Guess how you clothe yourself? You get up and you put on Christ. That's how you do that. That little emphasis there from the nether realm, I guess. But that's what you do. And that's the bottom line. You know, we talk about, yeah, the events of the day, the things that have gone on, how evil and wicked this world, this government is. But guess what? It's not all doom and gloom. If you want to be part of his remnant, well, you have to do what the Bible says his remnant does. And that's what his remnant does. His remnant listens and obeys when the word says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. You have to wake up. You have to, you know, the term is what? Wake up and smell the roses? You have to wake up and see what's going on. And how do you do that? Well, you pray about it. That's certainly a step. You know, our pastor taught that if you're deceived, how do you know you're deceived? You don't, because you're deceived. It's a full circle. It's not a real big circle, but if you think you're deceived, you know, you can pray, Lord, forgive me for being deceived first, because being deceived is a sin, the Bible tells us, and being a deceiver, of course, is a sin, but also being deceived. So you can pray, Lord, forgive me for being deceived, and open my eyes to the truth that's around me. You know, these Judeos have put together a simple sinner's prayer that, oh, just pray, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, and they think, and they teach you that you're saved. Well, that's not in the Bible. But the Bible does teach us that we're not to be deceived. And we can pray. The Bible says, ask and it'll be given to you. If you abide in me and I abide in you, Jesus says, ask anything you wish and it'll be done. And so, I think that certainly applies here. If you think you're deceived, even if you don't think you're deceived, you guys remember our pastor said there were times he would pray that prayer daily anyway, just in case. Because again, if you're deceived, you don't know it. And that's how so many of our people are. They are blinded. They are blinded to the truths that are out there. Not only the truths of how evil and wicked, like you said, Jason, this government truly is, but the truths of the Bible, of who his people are and who his people aren't, and who this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what he did and who he was. And what he told us, his people, to do. So many people, even Christians, are blinded to that. So if you follow the instructions of our pastor and just say, Lord, forgive me if I'm deceived. Forgive me for being deceived. Because we're deceived in something. There's so much deception out there. Forgive me for that. And open my eyes that I would not be deceived, Lord. That I would do your will and that I would not be deceived. And I think it's really as simple as that. You ask and it'll be given to you. That's one of the promises. That's one of the promises of the Bible. One of the promises of God.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting as we talk about 9/11 stuff is that, you know, start looking at all the events that have happened on September 11th of the different years. One thing that, you know, a lot of people forget about, or have forgotten about, or a lot of people never even really heard about it, but it was the Mountain Meadow Massacre out there in Utah. 120 men, women, and children. Everything that took place out there took place on September 11th of 1857. And that was exactly 144 years before 9/11 of 2001. And...
Wow.
No, it's and to me that's significant. I don't claim to understand it, but you know, I know that sacrifice, that massacre that took place, you know, 144 years prior, was something that you know, was basically the way I look at it, was a sacrifice to their god. You know, there was 120 men that were slaughtered. You know, basically they, you know, split the men from the children, women and children, and, you know, just killed them in cold blood, bailed them, robbed them, stole from them, you know, and it was one of the biggest cover-ups for a long time. You know, they were chopped up and buried and, in a mass grave. And covered up and hoping that nobody'd ever find out about it. And, you know, their cover up eventually got exposed. And it's interesting because just, you know, over the last, 10 years, there's been a lot of light that has, been shed on that. I mean, that's when they actually, in the last 10 years, there is the time frame when they found some of the mass graves, that people were buried in. It had been hidden and covered up for a long time, and there was light shed on it. But, you know, that's, you know, 140 years later, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, none of the families, nobody's around that ever had, that it really didn't matter much to anymore.
Was it mostly for thievery?
What's that?
Was it mostly just for thievery, just to steal everything they had, or?
Yeah, basically that's what it was. It was, you know, it was, they came and, you know, it's hard to say what it really was. I've read a lot of parts of it, and it, you know, you can't say, you know, what you can just say that you smell a rat. You know, basically
evil.
What
yeah.
happened is they came in, the settlers were predominantly from, Arkansas, and, they had come up from Arkansas and made it all the way across to Utah and were headed for California. And, they came through there, and the Mormon church had allowed them a place to stay and to water their horses. And at first they didn't want them stopping, and they gave them a place to stay and said, okay, you're allowed to stay here. And, then they found out that they had a lot of gold with them, and they had a lot of silver with them, and, you know, they had, there were some fairly wealthy people in the bunch. And, they, you know, it's hard to say if that's what motivated it, if that's what it was, if it was just greed, but, you know, they ended up taking them out and dressing up as Indians and attacking them as Indians. And they attacked the wagon train as Indians, and then they came in, then they sent some peacemakers in there, and they played, just to show you how they play both sides of the story, they came in and, you know, they had their leader tell them, well, you know, we've made a deal, we're friendly with the Indians, and the Indians don't bother us, and we've talked to them, and if you lay down your rifles, if you put your guns down, then, you know, we'll take you peacefully through, and the Indians won't harm you. And, you know, that was their biggest mistake. They should have never put down their rifles. They split them
up.
So
they were defenseless.
They said, "With the way it is we're going to take the women and children separate than the men," and that was part of the deal. And they got them unarmed, and they got them, and they split them up into groups. And they said that, you know, at one point they just turned and they just started shooting them like fish in a barrel.
Wow.
And everything, including the they shot the men, they shot the women, they shot the children.
Could be that they were true Christians too,
yeah.
And that the Mormons didn't appreciate that.
Very, very well, very possible. You know, there was a couple stories about a couple of children that had gotten away and were later on they were found and they were, you know, brought in and basically adopted into the Mormon Church, and they put them in there. They were young enough where they didn't, you know anything about, you know, what had really taken place, but you know, talk about a massacre and a cover up, and you know, an inside job. You know, to another event like that, it just and it's a story that there's not very many people know about. People
right.
haven't heard about it. There's actually a, you know, because it's very historically accurate on the whole situation, the way things took place, and it's called the Mountain Meadow Massacre. And I'd recommend them watch it or read on it, because it's you know. Something that it's one of those tear-jerking stories. You watch it or you read about it, and it's just it's sad. The way I learned about it was I was parked down in I was parked down in Arkansas and driving a furniture trailer, and sometimes it's kind of hard to find a place to park a 40-foot trailer when you're driving around some of those small towns. And I went down and I parked next to a park. I was walking over to a restaurant. And they had this monument, set up, and it was a monument. I went over to read it, and it was a monument to those that had died in the Mountain Meadow Massacre, and it told the story on this plaque, a little bit of it. And I'd never heard it, and I wrote it down, and I came back, and I had to go to the library and look it up in a dictionary, encyclopedia, to find something about it, and started reading about it, and it's just, you know, pretty crazy.
Yeah. Nothing new under the sun, huh?
No. Nope. The enemy finds something that works, and they usually stick to it. They might change the name of it or change tactics a little bit, but and disarming the people is a tactic that works for our enemy quite well. And if you're under that spell, if you think that fewer guns in the hands of people like you and me means less crime and a safer society, well, then you are deceived. It's as simple as that. But that's what our enemy does. They're masters of deception.
Yeah. I guess it's a couple months ago now. Hard to believe. Time's going so fast. But I took a trip there to Oklahoma City for several reasons. But one of the reasons was it was basically the 20th anniversary of that Oklahoma City bombing. And if you haven't been there, the memorial that they built is pretty amazing, really. It's got like two big gates, one on each side, and then there's looks like it's black granite, huge, bigger than an Olympic swimming pool, but it only has about maybe a half inch of water on it, and the water covers that whole thing. And then around it is these chairs, and the big chairs are the adults, and the little chairs are the children that died there. And but I had opportunity to anoint that and just petition our Heavenly Father to let the truth be known. Lord, it's been 20 years.
Amen.
Reveal to our people what really happened this day. And another reason I went down there was for the courthouse. Right now, that's one of the only places that the Ten Commandments still stands. And Judge Moore, I think Roy Moore, is the one that's defended it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has come against it. The Supreme Court has even ruled that it must be taken down. But I'll tell you, there's a reason that it ain't taken down. And hopefully I'll put a picture of that in one of these newsletters. But above all, on the top of that Ten Commandments, there's the all-seeing eye. So you can see that they're putting that above God. God's laws. And then in the bottom, on both corners, the left bottom corner and the right bottom corner, there's a Jewish star. And in the middle is a huge plaque of the donation of the people who donated this to the people of Oklahoma City. There's no humility. And then you can see that it's worldly. And in my opinion, that's the only reason that thing's standing. And my intention was to anoint it and to pray for protection for it. But once I saw that, you can't anoint that and pray for protection. What you can pray for is that the Lord's will be done regarding this situation. But it was interesting that, in my opinion, that's probably the only reason that it still stands, is because it has secularism as its main focus. If you saw the picture, you'd understand what I was saying.
Well, guys, we got a caller this morning. Let's see if we can get the caller on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Miss
Dee. Ironically.
Hey,
Dee. Talking about the Ten Commandments. I noticed the all-seeing eye. The Star of David, so-called, on the bottom. And all the news reports, they always... usually the first thing you see is that all-seeing eye when they're showing giving the story, and it's pretty prominent. What I was calling about, though, was if you guys would comment on the mass migration that I don't think we've seen on this scale of the so-called Syrians, because they're finding that it's not just Syrians, into Europe. And specifically, you know, they're not going to Africa or South America or Egypt even.
Yeah, Germany.
They're mm-hmm. going to the northern Europe, like Hungary and Norway and Vienna. They were talking about Vienna, Austria and all. So it's interesting mm-hmm. that they're specifically targeting the northern Europe.
Well, right. They're targeting the white part of Europe is what they're doing.
With all Muslims.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you talk to other people about that, you know, they just don't get it, because I guess they don't recognize about God's people. And they may be upset about, you know, what's going on, but they just don't get that second step of what's
right.
happening.
Right.
That they're not just targeting Christians, they're targeting the white or Caucasian races,
yep.
the Lord's people.
Right. Indeed, that's why, that is one of the reasons why our pastor, you know, he sure promoted baptism, because that's a very a foundational aspect of true Christianity. But that's the other reason that he put out the truth of who the Israelite, who the Hebrew people are today. And that's the Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people. Because that's who the word applies to. You know, you can bend and twist and contort and misinterpret this word all day long to try to imply it to some big-nosed, kinky-haired Ashkenazi and some godforsaken sandbox that they formed in 1948. And that's what our Judeo-Christians do. Those that put Judaism before Christianity, just like John talked, and you've seen that Ten Commandments, how they put that all-seeing eye before Christianity. Well, my God says, you know, have no other gods before him. And his word is written about his people in Joel. When you talk about that, that's what came to mind in Joel 1, starting in verse 4. It says, what the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weak, and weep. And see, that's what I think is going on. You know, what the previous invaders have left in Germany, in Norway, in these northern European countries, in these countries that were formed by the dispersion that James writes to in the beginning of James, you know, what the gnawing locust has left. You know, what the previous illegal immigrants, illegal invaders have left, this new round are going to come in and eat up and take and mate with their children. And the next generation, you think this generation is bad in Germany, in Norway, in Sweden, in some of those, you know, what were once Nordic countries. You think it's bad in this generation, give it another generation. When Germany itself has said, what, they're going to take 500,000 invaders a year. That's legally, according to their terms.
Yeah.
And so count on
coming here too.
Count on three or four times that number. And I think what we're seeing over there is practice for here. It absolutely is. They get it perfected there, and then they'll move it right into here. That's their plan anyway.
The abomination,
I
already
I,
said they want
I didn't
to bring
hear the
10,
news,
000.
But I thought Obama opened it up, didn't he? Allowed more
yeah.
to come in.
Yes.
10,000 Syrians is the initial wave that abomination's trying to bring in right now.
There's an interesting.
And they're all Muslim, so it's the caliphate is what it is.
They have 190 cities that you can look up where they're resettling so-called refugees, They're picking, they're not real little towns, but they're really spreading them all over, and it's pretty much every state. Although I noticed Wyoming just had Casper.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, they did that with Casper out here, and what they do is they get these do-gooder Judeo-Christians that have, where the leadership has been infiltrated, and that's what they do. They get them to sponsor it, and then they put it out to their people. And tell them this is the Christian thing to do, folks. We have these people. these people are being persecuted.
Don't fool yourself on that because they're making a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely they are.
A lot of Catholic charity.
Yes.
They're whoring themselves for money.
They interviewed this one guy. He had a some company, I think it was in Oklahoma, where he's been bringing in, that's his whole supposed vocation, is to bring in refugees to this country. And if you look behind him, he had this beautiful office with, you know, up to date, you know, mahogany desks and computers, and so, you know, he's making big money off of this.
It is. Going back to Joel.
Wars galore.
It is. Joel 1:6, for a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste, and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. And, you know, that it, when we talk about the vine, when we talk about the fig tree, we understand, because of the teachings of our pastor, and because of he is, through the Holy Spirit, has been able to open our eyes and teach on this thing, we understand that that is modern day, the Israel of today. Not only in this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, but, you know, where we came from, the European nations. You know, we have to remember that that our people are there as well, and they are being invaded, mighty and without number, as we are. You know, millions and millions invade here as well. And we're just seeing more and more of it. And that's the spell we talked about earlier. The people that are blinded to it is that the so-called Christians, the people that think they're Christians, but that they are okay with putting Judaism first in their Christianity, which denies Jesus Christ, which again is the spell, the double-mindedness, them holding on to two opposites, whether they know it or not, and then they are deceived, they're embracing it and welcoming it.
Well, I know what the end game is. The end game is wonderful, right? But the intermediate is what's in our lifetime, you know, what happens and what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. And you know, Dee, that's one of the reasons we keep promoting this Bible reading plan, because when you read through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and now we're in Ezekiel, you see the next step in this game. You see the people that have been taken over, that have been exiled, that are in a foreign land. You know, we're not being put into a foreign land now. The foreign land has come here, and the same thing works today that worked then, not only with our enemies, but also with God. When we repent and return to Him, you know, when we go back to Him, you know, He will save us. It's as simple as that. He will deliver us. But not if we remain in doing the things that got us to this point.
God's doing the same thing that we've been praying for. We pray for a culling. We pray for those pruning of the vine. We pray for the hidden reefs in our love feast to be removed. What is He doing? It's the same thing. He's going to give you if you won't believe the truth, He'll give you a lie. And if you look at what's going on just this September 23rd, the first Jesuit pope ever in the history of the papacy is visiting Washington, D.C., going to meet with Obama Nation, and going to speak to the Congress and to the Senate for the first time, I think, ever, to speak to both, you know, both houses. And his agenda is the same as Obama Nation's. It's all New World Order. It's all deception. It's that great whore, Mother Babylon, that's calling its churches, its sister churches, home again. And it's all about acceptance and tolerance and political correctness. I remember 20 years ago when political correctness first came on the scene, when Dad said, this is a plague and it will destroy us if we don't expose it.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys. I guess what...
Thanks for the call.
I guess the best goal our vocation for us is to do what you guys are doing, which is just to try to wake people up and save as many people of our people that we can.
Well, we continue to put the gospel out.
We need
out.
A revival.
Amen.
We need a revival. We need our people to fall upon their knees and upon their face and to cry out with a contrite, broken spirit and broken heart. And when that happens, then that Holy Spirit will spread and people will see it, they'll feel it, and that's the only way we're going to have this revival again, as far as I can tell.
Amen. Amen. Dee, thanks for the call. Have a blessed day. Phone lines are open, folks. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in.
I read an article this week that basically says, the headline was, Five Things President Obama Wants to Discuss with Pope Francis When He Visits Washington, D.C. And then they made a comparison of speeches that the Pope's given and speeches that Obama Nation's given. And I can just go through a few of them unless we get a call or something. But Pope Francis in 2013, this is, quote, Each individual Christian in every community is called to be an instrument of God for the liberation and promotion of the poor and for enabling them to be fully a part of society. This demands that we be docile and attentive to the cry of the poor and to come to their aid. Now, that all sounds good. But then here's Obama Nation, 2007 speech, Town Hall Education and Arts Recreation Campus in Washington, D.C. Quote, If poverty, is a disease that infects the entire community in the form of unemployment and violence, failing schools and broken homes, then we can't just treat those symptoms in isolation. We have to heal that entire community, and we have to focus on what actually works. Now that's a mild one. Here's Pope Francis, February 9, 2015, in a homily. A Christian who does not protect creation, who does not let it grow, is a Christian who does not care about the work of God, that work that was born from the love of God for us. And this is the first response to the first creation. Protect creation, make it grow. Then Obama Nation, 2015, State of the Union. No challenge poses a greater threat to future generations than climate change. The best scientists in the world are all telling us that our activities are changing the climate. And if we do not act forcefully, we'll continue to see rising oceans, longer, hotter heat waves, dangerous droughts and floods, and massive disruption that can trigger greater migration, conflict, and hunger around the globe.
Yeah, then, what a mess. Ow. Well, John, we got a caller. Let's try to get a caller on, and
okay,
we'll come
sure.
back. So, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dennis calling from Connecticut. How are you?
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, I know when I call in on Wednesday, we can't really talk like I want to talk, but I want to first thank you guys for... I really appreciate all you guys do. I'm really thankful. I look on your website and I look at all the information, CDs that I have and available that I can order from you guys, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, that's the first
well,
thing
thank you,
I
Dennis.
To talk about.
And, thank you, Dennis. Without
thing,
men like you.
Was, you know, as you know, I had an injury. Three times over the past 18 months, the Lord has led me into deep in purgatory prayer, and I know from experience that I'm generally going to be injured after this happens. So, I was called to deep in purgatory prayer about 5 weeks ago. And, so I know I got this injury, but I also want to say, before you think, oh, I'm really holy, there may have been little bit of stupidity there. I was in the gym and I did I was doing some deadlifts, and people have told me that if your age starts with a 5, you probably should not be doing deadlifts. So I just wanted to say before you think, oh wow, Dennis is really holy, there may be some stupidity involved there as well. I also wanted to comment on the latest DVD on the church message on repentance from August 30th. It talks about the prodigal son, where poverty brought him to his senses. I think it's 2 Timothy 3:5, which says there were Christians that had a form of godliness, but you know, denying its true power. And you know, I now tell people when they ask me how long I've been saved, you know, I tell them, well, you know, I was baptized in Branson in 2012, but I used to hang out in churches since 1989, and you know, I did. I had a form of godliness, but I denied its true power. And the other thing I wanted to say, again, I'm thankful for you guys, and what Pastor was talking about on the latest TV about, you know, personal repentance. You know, I think that's important for me. And there's one thing that I've learned from listening to Pastor, and I think the most important prayer that's helped me is that where he talks about repent of being deceived. And that has just helped me in so many ways. That's like my favorite prayer. It's like, wow, God really shows me stuff. And I know you guys are out there on the front lines, you know, fighting for all of us. And we're kind of in the back room. We're really not, you know, out on the front lines like you guys are. But I just wanted to call in and tell you I appreciate you guys and thank you for what you're doing. You know, I listen every Saturday morning, whether I call in or not. But I do listen. I appreciate you. John had mentioned that the Pope is coming over on the 22nd or 23rd. So we have an opportunity on the 91st day there. I'm looking at the calendar right now. It looks like September 17th.
And so, 18th, yes.
We have an opportunity for some serious and preparatory prayer on that day. To, you know, throw a monkey wrench in there and kind of hope that things don't go the way that they're supposed to. So, again, I just want to call up and thank you guys. Tell you, I really appreciate what you do. I really do.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Without men like you, we couldn't do what we do. People who support this ministry and have faithfully for years. So, grateful for you as well, brother.
All right, Dennis. Again, I appreciate it, and I keep you guys in prayer all the time. So
thank you,
and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks again.
Thank you, Dennis. You
bye
too.
Bye. Appreciate it.
307-745-5913. If you want to call in this morning, we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this September 12th. You may hear this broadcast at other times. You know, if you hear it Monday night or next week, well, then the phone lines won't work for that, but they sure work now. So if you do want to call in.
We're getting to the meat of these quotes here. I think I'm in the third one, so I guess I'll just keep reading until unless somebody has something else they want to talk about. But so Abomination, 2015, National Prayer Breakfast. The concern for the protection of religious freedom rights calls for each of us to exercise civility and restraint and judgment. Boy, talk about a lie. And if, in fact, we defend the legal right of a person to insult another's religion, we're equally obligated to use our free speech to condemn such insults and stand shoulder to shoulder with religious communities, particularly religious minorities, who are targets of such attacks. Okay, now here's Pope Francis, 2014, International Religious Liberty at the Global Clash of Values Conference in Rome. That's a long title, but quote, these are all quotes from either Abomination or Pope Francis. Religious freedom is not just a matter of thought or private devotion. It is the freedom to live, both privately and publicly, according to ethical principles that are consequence to the truth of the truth found. And then I think this is the last one, but it's Abomination, January 8th, statement about war on poverty. We must redouble our efforts to make sure our economy works for every working American It means helping our businesses create new jobs with stronger wages and benefits, expanding access to education and health care, rebuilding those communities on the outskirts of hope, and constructing new ladders of opportunity for our people to climb. Pope Francis in 2013. Just as the commandment, thou shalt not kill, sets a clear limit in order to safeguard the value of human life, today we... the value of human life, really. So today, we also have to say, thou shalt not, to an economy of exclusion and inequality, such as economy kills. But, and then you see, I guess it was last week, Pope Francis was saying that if you had an abortion, he forgives you. But this is a limited time deal, just so you know, because this is a year of, I forget what they call it, I can't remember. But anyways, the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope has declared that this is a year of, I don't know what, generosity or something. Acceptance, probably, intolerance. But I got news for him. There's only one intercessor between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And what the Pope put out, I mean, Jesus Christ will forgive you if you've had an abortion. If you will seek that forgiveness, if you will repent, if you will return exactly. to him and confess your sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, because he can forgive, the Pope can't.
Yep.
Well, there's phone lines ringing, just the wrong phone lines for this program today. But anyway, guys,
yep.
Just a few minutes left here.
Let me read this last one, because sure. this one's significant. Obama, in a speech in November 21st, 2014, quote, "We didn't raise the Statue of Liberty with her back to the world. We did it with her light shining as a beacon to the world. And whether we are Irish or Italian or Germans or crossing the Atlantic or Japanese or Chinese or crossing the Pacific, whether we crossed the Rio Grande or flew here from all over the world, generations of immigrants have made this country into what it is and what makes us special." Yeah, immigrants, hard-working European immigrants that would not take a dime from the government for subsidy and understood that if you don't work, you don't eat. There's the difference between
yes.
the parasites that are coming in here and the American people, the German, Scandinavian kindred, and Celtic people that founded this nation to get away from the Roman Catholic Church, by the way. Anyways, Pope Francis in 2013 remarks on the tragedy. It says, "These, our brothers and sisters, seek to leave difficult situations in order to find a little serenity and peace. They seek a better place for themselves and for their families, but they found death. How many times to those who seek this, how many times do those who seek this not find understanding, do not find welcome, do not find solidarity, excuse me, and their voices rise even up even to God."
Wow.
So that, let me wipe a tear away here.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. They call it one. They say one thing. It's like when they say peace, peace, and you know that it's war. They do. They say one thing, but it's actually another. And you're absolutely right. These aren't immigrants. Immigrants came to America to become American. They came to America to teach their children the English language, to instill in them a work ethic, an ethic of obeying the laws of this country, of contributing to the society that's here. And what we have
first
today...
First and foremost...
Go ahead.
First and foremost, they came to worship Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
That's why they came yes. to this country.
The Mayflower
period.
Compact
so you
the,
can,
tells
yeah,
us that.
Absolutely.
You know, to further the Christian faith, not religion, but to further the Christian faith. And when you have a people that come in and do that, well, those are immigrants. And that is how this nation was founded. But you look
and
at where those...
And why it was blessed.
And why it was blessed, at where those immigrants came from. They were the Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people that had formed Europe. They were the same people that came and did this. That's not what we have now. we have the mixed multitudes. We have those coming in, as it was in the days of Egypt when there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. You know, we have a government that doesn't know God or Jesus Christ, and we have the mixed multitudes that are coming in that are not coming in to be American. They're coming in and you know, sucking off the land and what...
Locusts of Joel.
Absolutely, it's what they are, like we read. And what they don't get here, they, you know, if they can't get it in Dearborn, Michigan, well, they'll go to Casper, Wyoming and try to get it. And if they can't get it there, they'll go to Austin, Texas and try to get it. And on and on and on. We're seeing it in California. You see how the illegals have come in, and now that they are the majority in the state, but in certain counties and cities, they'll just elect and nominate other illegals, other people that are here in this country illegally, and then they will nominate them and get them in government positions. Then they're deciding what the schools are teaching. And what food the schools are feeding, and they decide, they're deciding if the illegals can get driver's licenses or not, and things like that. It is literally the foxes deciding, you know, what hen they're having for dinner, and when it's supposed to be guarding the henhouse.
But you watch, what they're doing is they're trying to fulfill the caliphate, and the ones they're letting into this country, and they have for years, maybe even 10, 15 years, I'm not sure, but they've all been Muslim.
Yes, yes.
There's Christians that are being persecuted as well over in these Middle Eastern countries. And got news for you. They ain't letting them into our country. They ain't letting them into Europe.
No.
It's only the Muslims, and it's all got to do with the caliphate. And it's just because, just like you said, they've all of these positions of authority have been infiltrated. But the reason that all this has come upon us is because of our sin.
It is.
Unless we come to that complete repentance, unless we come to that point where we have a broken and contrite spirit and a heart, then we reap what we sow as a nation.
Amen. Ezekiel 39:22-23 tells us that the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me. There is nothing new under the sun. We are in exile in our own nation. And instead of being sent to these foreigners, the foreigners have come in upon us. And that's how it is.
Deuteronomy 28, we're deep in the curse phase.
We are. Well, guys, we're out of time. I want to invite you, Remnant, to join us at church Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can do that by going to scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream at those times. And join us for church. We encourage you to do that, give you an opportunity to sing some praise songs to the Lord and to gather with the saints, to partake of communion, and to be blessed by a Holy Spirit-inspired message. So again, we encourage you to do that. We do thank you for listening. We thank you for your support. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.
Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.